You're listening to the Discover You Life podcast. Through conversations with pretty cool Muslims, people of Dua, of Ihsan, people who found a way to walk their dreams with Islamic excellence, we take you on a path of discovery. This is the podcast where you discover you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad abdika wa nabiyyika wa rasulika nabiyya al-ummi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum everyone. My name is Razia Hamidi. I am a spiritual life coach and the CEO of Discover You. It is my pleasure and honor to be here with you. Those of you that are first timers, please type into the chat. Let me know if this is your first time here with us at Discover You for any of our programs. Discover You was founded by the late Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, rahmatullah, and the vision, the mission we have at Discover You is uplifting Muslims to be the hero of their story with keeping Allah at the center of it. And alhamdulillah, we do that in supporting Muslims in all aspects and parts of their life, this path of spiritual growth towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so everything we do, every program, every webinar, every, you know, alhamdulillah, retreat that we do is in alignment with this mission and this goal, inshallah. And so today is no different. And this webinar came from my very real conversations that, alhamdulillah, I get to have with so many of you in serving you and supporting you and realizing that the post-Ramadan blues is very real. It's alhamdulillah, something that the believer craves. But many times we don't have a plan of action going forward. And sometimes when we do, it's almost like superficial. And my goal always in the work that I do, alhamdulillah, is to really try to support people in going deeper to the root of the issue. And so inshallah, I hope today that's what I get to do with you. I'm going to go a little deep. We're going to go to the root of why, as many of you expressed, you feel like you're losing momentum. Why perhaps you feel stuck? Why perhaps you feel disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why you are having an iman dip, right? What does that actually like translate to? How does that actually show up and affect our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I am going to give you some very real tools that you can start applying after today, inshallah. And you know, those of you that alhamdulillah are serious about this path of growth with Allah, this path of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've got an online retreat coming up on May 4th that I'm going to introduce and talk about today, inshallah, something I'm so excited for. We have Dr. Rania Awad on with me, inshallah. We're going to be doing that together online on May 4th, and we've got two bonuses on it as well with Sister Samia Mubarak and Sister Sara Sultan. So I'm going to share that. And that's for people who are, inshallah, after, you know, what you hear today, I hope is going to, inshallah, spark that motivation and it's going to reignite for you what all of you expressed that you need. So I want to, inshallah, let you know already that I'm going to be talking about it. However, it's really important for me that when people come into these sessions, please don't come into today thinking like, okay, it's just a free webinar. Let's, you know, like I'm sure it's not going to be like super intense. I'm sure there's not going to be like a lot to really learn from it. I approach all my sessions, I approach all my programs, be it paid or open, with the mindset like, this is it. So I'm coming to you, inshallah, pouring 100% in. Today, I'm not treating it like, and like all my things, I don't treat it like, oh, this is open and this is paid. Like, you're getting quality, you are getting, inshallah, a lot of value from me. So I really want to know that's reciprocated the same way. So can you guys type into the chat, like, if you are here for that, if you're here just to kind of like hear a nice fluffy reminder, if you're just here like, okay, I'll kind of see how this is, it's not going to serve you very well. Yes, that's it. Zeba, you're clearly a veteran. She's, you know, she put it in, I'm here, I'm all in. Can you guys type that into the chat? I love doing, alhamdulillah, affirmations. They set our intentions, especially when it is with, alhamdulillah, the Quran. It is through the verses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously asks us in the Quran to affirm our submission to Him, right? Yes, type that in, you guys. I'm all in. So don't come to today's session thinking this is going to be light. Don't come into today's session thinking like it's just a free webinar. It's not going to have that much value. You're getting what I would be teaching at like $1,000 retreat. You're getting today, inshallah, what I would be teaching, you know, people who are spending all day with me. Like, this is the amount of effort I put into my work. And inshallah, I want to know that you're here, because we don't know what tomorrow's promise. As much as I want you to be with me and continue, inshallah, this journey with us and be with us on May 4th for our online retreat, I don't know if we're going to live to see that. So I'm going to share what I can with you today. And inshallah, I pray that, you know, if we are alive till then and that you are serious about your relationship with Allah and making it a priority, that you'll continue with us, and inshallah, we'll get to see you there. So with that, take a moment, set your intention, remind yourself why you're here, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I ask Allah that He opens our heart to Him. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softens our heart towards Him. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to take action on the knowledge that we learn and to seek closeness to Him through everything that we do and through every moment that we spend today in His remembrance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be of those who are seeking Him regardless of what's going on in our life. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory to the believers and protects our brothers and sisters right now all over the world who are suffering and who are under oppression. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the martyrs from them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to pass the test that we are in, because we're all going through a different test. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to let this moment that we're all sharing here together, to be a testimony for how we are trying to excel in that test, that we are not taking it easy, that we are trying to seek knowledge, inshallah, that will transform our heart. So with that, inshallah, let's get into it. So like I said, I'm going to spend about an hour with you, inshallah. I'm going to do my best to stay on the hour. If I go a little bit over, forgive me. And like I said, it's recorded, so you can watch it later. But my goal for today, inshallah, is definitely circling around this topic of how do we continue tranquility beyond Ramadan? And we're going to get into what it means to have a tranquil heart. So I'm going to define that for you. I'm going to do that with you together. But I want to start off with a quick study. So there's a study that was done years ago out of Stanford, and it was a study around health and encouraging people to, you know, have just make small shifts and adjustments in living a more healthier lifestyle. So these group of researchers, they went to this office building. It was four floors, and they wanted to encourage people in this office building to take the stairs instead of the elevators. And so, you know, they taught people about why it's so much more beneficial for their health, you know, the benefits of getting the heart rate up, all the impact it will have on their work, all those things. They gave the knowledge. It didn't really do anything. You know, they monitored. People didn't take the stairs more than the elevator. People were still sticking to their habit of taking the elevator. So then the researchers decided to test something else out. They decided to delay the elevator closing by 16 seconds. You guys, if a car is 2 seconds delayed at a red light, you start honking, right? So 16 seconds, they delayed the elevator closing. And so obviously then people were getting frustrated, annoyed, and they started taking the stairs. And they started taking the stairs, more and more of them. And what happened was weeks later, when they put the elevator back to regular, so it was closing automatically right, you know, right away, people were still taking the stairs. The habit had been built. And so what the researchers said when it comes to habit formation is that it's so important to increase the resistance so that way you don't continue to do those kind of habits. And so many of us are coming out of Ramadan and we're feeling a dip, and many of us are feeling maybe a distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I want you to just ask yourself right now is the resistance to those things that take us away from Allah, is the resistance in our life higher, or is our path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the resistance higher when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is the resistance lower when it comes to things, you know, distractions? And usually that's kind of like the measure, right? So the resistance to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much higher. Oh, you know what? It's so hard to like sit and read Quran. You know, it's so hard to like pray on time. It's so hard for me to sit and like do some dhikr because I've got all this going on, versus grabbing my phone, versus, you know, just filling my schedule up with like a lot of random things, or like just making a priority of everything else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I just want you to like give yourself a scale, give yourself a measure. Where's the resistance higher for me? You know, what am I increasing the resistance in my life when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it harder for me to go to Allah, or is it harder for me to go to distractions? And obviously what we want to do is we want the resistance to distractions to be higher. And so I hope, inshallah, today, when we talk about tranquility, we can fix this imbalance, that the resistance to distractions is what I want to, inshallah, you know, increase. So want to increase the resistance when it comes to distractions, and I want to lower the tension, right? I want to lower the resistance when it comes to my path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to make it so easy for me to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, I'm going to give you three tools today that I hope are going to increase, inshallah, our capacity, and alhamdulillah, decrease that resistance, right? So that it feels so easy. It feels like, alhamdulillah, like the smallest thing I can do, and I can feel that tranquility. So before we go into that, we have to define our terms, right? You guys, we have to define what does it actually mean to be tranquil? And otherwise, I might be talking about one definition of tranquility and you're talking about and understand it completely differently. So type into the chat right now, what does tranquility mean to you? If someone says, I want to have, you know, I want to feel more tranquil with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I want to feel that, yeah, I was going to say that word, peace, contentment, peaceful, restful, calm, fully trusting Him, peace with yourself, commandments, khushu, I love it, satisfied, alignment, quiet mind, sukoon, beautiful, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sakina, constant peace, mindfulness, calm. I haven't seen this word typed in yet, but everything I put is definitely part of it. Sabr, sure. Yeah, less stress. So, you know, the opposite of it, yeah. Ooh. So the other word I would add to the list that everyone's already put, mashallah, which is beautiful, is afia as well. Well-being, right? Tranquility is also this, yes, someone just put it in, right? So afia, right? So everything you guys put in, absolutely, that's what tranquility is. It is sukoon, right? Sakina. It is rida, contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is, alhamdulillah, afia, which is this complete wellness. It like encompasses all of it. Tranquility, and this is a dua that the Prophet encouraged the companions to make, that Allah grant us afia, right? Grant us wellness, complete like peace and tranquility in every part of life. So let's make that dua right now. Oh Allah, Allah, grant us afia in every part of our life. Ya Allah, grant us afia in every part of our life. So tranquility is everything that I just expressed, and it's here's like the fine print of, because it's so important to be clear when we define terms. Tranquility is when our deepest joys, our deepest desires point us toward Allah. And we seek the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through all of this. So I'm coming into today talking about tranquility and how to seek that, inshallah, by knowing that tranquility is having, alhamdulillah, peace, sakina with Allah, contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every part of our life, absolute holistic well-being in every part of our life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this part, like I said, for our deepest desires, our deepest joys, direct and point us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true tranquility. And you know what's really interesting, you guys, and I want you to just realize this, especially for the moms in this group, right? When we talk about tranquility, and we talk about overwhelm in our life and, you know, everything that's pulling in different directions, people think like, okay, like how do I manage it with everything on my plate? Not one person put in the chat, not one of you in the chat put tranquility is doing less. Tranquility is doing more of X, Y, Z, like actions, external things, because it really is a state of the heart. Just take a moment to say alhamdulillah, because this sakina that we can feel, this closeness to Allah that we want to experience, actually doesn't require you necessarily to take on more, right? It doesn't require you to take on more, but it is a state of the heart and mind. And we're going to talk about that. So I just want you to come in already knowing, like, you're already, alhamdulillah, that resistance is already coming lower, because you're like, oh, I don't have to add more. And we'll talk about, right, like, inshallah, obviously, acts of ibadah, but how, alhamdulillah, like, it starts from another place. It starts from a very beautiful place. But I also want to talk about the opposite. Okay, so let's talk about the opposite for a second. What's the opposite of tranquility? What is the opposite of tranquility? Can you guys put that into the chat? Which I'm sure many of you are feeling as you've expressed. Yes, anxiety, chaos, tension, disturbance, noise, constriction, anguish, disease, unrest, restlessness, depression, drama, distress, worry, overwhelm, restlessness, unsettled, distance, fitna. Yeah. Restlessness. No one has put this one in yet. Hopelessness. Yeah. Unsatisfaction with life. Yeah. And the other one is regret. Regret is a big one, right? Fear. Yeah. All of those are part of it. So the opposite is definitely pain. It is sadness. But here's where it gets real though. Yes, Aisha put it in too. Heedlessness, right? Complete absentness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's everything I've listed is a result, the opposite of tranquility, because we said tranquility is where everything points me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's like the simplest term of tranquility that we're going to use, inshallah, rida, contentment, afia, right? We said where every desire, every thought, every action is taking me and pointing me towards Allah. The opposite is heedlessness, absence of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which creates all the emotions you guys just put, the guilt, the sadness. So ultimately, the opposite of tranquility is to be, feel disconnected and not moved by Allah, where our hearts don't move by Allah, and where we are absent, our hearts and minds are absent of the remembrance of Allah. Really important, because you guys talked about the fruits. Remember, we're going to the root. So the root, the opposite of tranquility, the root of it is to be absent of the remembrance of Allah, and that creates a sadness. That disconnectedness creates a void. And that's what we're here, all here for. Yeah, absolutely, ghafla. Right? The absence from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pain, and here's the blessing, right? Here's the mercy of our Lord, that pain often disrupts our shallow peace. Can we just have a moment for that? Pain disrupts our shallow version of peace. So everything you're feeling right now is, inshallah, calling you. This pain is calling you to have now this desire, this intention, which I hope is why you're all here, where you want to have a deeper peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That maybe you are doing things superficially in your life, and maybe in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, you were doing things, but it hadn't gone deeper. You hadn't like planted that tree of faith, of action, and of iman so deeply. And so, alhamdulillah, this pain you feel in this moment, this Ramadan withdrawal, this immense pain and void and sadness that you're feeling is disrupting perhaps the shallowness you had approached your relationship with Allah with. And inshallah, today, you guys, and alhamdulillah, the retreat that I'm going to talk about is about putting it deeper. It's planting that deep, deep tree that's going to have deeper roots, inshallah, to have a peace that is everlasting, a peace and contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is really going to seek, that is going to allow you to seek more profound peace with Allah. So are you guys up for that? So again, sometimes that pain, you guys, is alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy also redirecting us back. You know what? Maybe you just never planted it really deep. Maybe your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't really as deep as you hoped. And so Allah's waking you up from this pain. You're waking up because of this pain and you're like, I need something more. I want to plant it deeper. Yeah, it is growing pains, but it's also realizing that, you know, subhanAllah, like maybe it was shallow. And so many of us sometimes have a very shallow relationship with Allah, but yet we want so much depth from Him. And so alhamdulillah, this is about, inshallah, making it go deeper. And then today's, inshallah, conversation and this whole session is going to be around a verse of Surah Al-Kahf. So I want you to enjoy this verse with me. Savor it. Inshallah, it's in Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18, verse 28. Okay, and inshallah, I'm going to keep referencing this verse. This is what, inshallah, our conversation about tranquility is going to be surrounded by. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and patiently stick with those who call upon their Lord morning and evening, seeking His pleasure and closeness to Allah. Do not let your eyes look beyond them, desiring the luxuries of this worldly life. And do not obey those whose hearts we have made heedless of our remembrance, who follow only their desires and whose state is total loss. Okay, let me read that again. And inshallah, like I said, I'm going to deconstruct this verse in our whole session. The tools I'm going to give you is around this ayah. And patiently stick with those who call upon their Lord morning and evening, seeking His pleasure. And I've because of our conversation, I put in closeness to Allah, because that's what pleasure is, right? It is being close to Allah. Do not let your eyes look beyond them, desiring the luxuries of this worldly life. And do not obey those whose hearts we have made heedless of our remembrance, who follow only their desires and whose state is total loss. And again, the English translation we know is obviously so restrictive and limited because it doesn't always have the words, but it's not just that they're in a state of total loss, a state of sadness, of chaos, of regret. And we will talk about this further, inshallah. So this is the verse that inshallah we're going to enter this conversation with, and that inshallah is going to allow us to go deeper in our relationship, in our pursuit of having tranquility and contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going beyond the superficial. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's final order in this ayah is, do not obey one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, so that he has followed his own whim, his own affairs, and has become confused. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us, do not be like those people. And like I said, this can be taken many ways. And we're going to, inshallah, deconstruct that. But remembering Allah and following one's desires are opposites. Remembering Allah, following one's desires are opposites. If one grows in your heart, the other one shrinks. So here's my question to you right now. Which one is growing more in your heart post-Ramadan? Remembering Allah and following one's desires are opposites. If one grows in our heart, the other shrinks. So either our remembrance of Allah can grow or the pursuit of our desires can grow, right? So we get to, alhamdulillah, decide. But don't think that if you're feeding one or that you can try to feed both, right? And expect that the balance will be there. It's not, right? You will be in a state of imbalance, and that's what chaos is. So the characteristics that we want to avoid that Allah is warning us is to be heedless from the remembrance of Allah and following one's desires. And ultimately, you guys, everything that, you know, like we said, the opposite of tranquility is falling into this. And you might think, well, I'm just busy. I've just got things going on. It's not necessarily that I'm not remembering Allah. But again, if we're doing these things and it's not pointing our heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it falls under this category. So inshallah, we're going to talk about the balance. Like I said, I'm going to give you three really practical integral tools, inshallah, to do it. So I'm going to share 3 points in my talk today. And it's inspired, like I said, from this verse, but I'm going to approach it at the most micro moment, from the most micro starting point, because we talked about roots. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding and warning us in this verse to keep company with those who are constantly seeking the remembrance of Allah morning and night. While the person that we're most closest with for the majority of our life and all day is ourselves. And so we can start looking outwards, right? That's how we often do things, because it's the most easiest to look outwards than it is inwards. And the hard part is to look inwards. And so I'm going to take this verse, but I actually want the starting point for us to be today looking inwards. Yes, there's a whole other conversation about keeping righteous company and good sabha, and there's a place for that. And inshallah, on May 4th, when we have the retreat, we're going to have breakout rooms, so you get to connect with people as you go on that journey. But first and foremost, I want to start that conversation off by, inshallah, you, right? What is the internal state? Who am I spending time with when it comes to my thoughts? So to catch our starting point first, because we don't want to be on this path of pain, of withdrawal, of ghafla, right? Not having the remembrance of Allah. All of that can take us down a path of worshiping ourselves. Because if you're not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every moment you are, nothing is just neutral. You're connecting, you're orienting your heart towards something. And so we need to be aware of what that is. And so inshallah, like I said, we're going to start with ourselves, because we want to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that submitting can be hard. We want to become aware of our thoughts. And so the three, inshallah, tools I'm going to share with you is the three mindsets, right? What is the mindset of the believer, so that way we can, inshallah, increase in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because again, coming back to that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, right, that those who are in pursuit of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his pleasure, right, seeking the closeness, what is their promise, right? If the opposite, Allah is saying that you will be in chaos, well, the reward of this, of being in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that you will, alhamdulillah, you having the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will feel that afiyah, you will feel that wellness, you will feel that peace, that contentment, and everything we talked about of what tranquility is. That is the goal. So inshallah, what are the three mindsets that the believer needs to increase, alhamdulillah, in this quality of tranquility and that tranquility that is bringing us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that tranquility that is tied to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because love of Allah, you guys, cures all diseases of the heart. Love of Allah, which is again, and you're hearing me say different definitions of tranquility because it's all encompassed in that. Tranquility is the love of Allah. When I am in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm sure we've all connected with someone who, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at the forefront of what they do. And they are just experiencing utter joy in every part of their life because, alhamdulillah, they have that constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they can be going through the hardships, but they feel peace. They feel that closeness. They feel that joy because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, an integral part of gaining tranquility of the heart is to be mindful of our surroundings and our internal state, and also of people that we spend time with. And one of the things I know that a lot of people will ask is like, you know, how do I experience khushu in my life? Like, I know when I pray, I'm not focused. The secret to that is actually not in the prayer. It is outside of the prayer. And that's why, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, do not speak so much without mentioning Allah. Far too much speech without mentioning Allah hardens the heart, and the hard-hearted are the furthest of all people from the Most High. Subhanallah. And so if you want to be mindful of Allah in your khushu, be mindful of what you say and how often you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the, you know, between your prayers throughout the day, because tasting the sweetness in your salah will be, those seeds will be planted outside of it. So just inshallah, let's hold on to that and remember it, okay? So alhamdulillah, the three mindsets really start. And like I said, the reason, you know, it's centered around this verse is because my good problem in my life, I know, started when I started reading the Quran in the open heart. When I started to actually start to do the book reflecting on the Quran. And what I mean by good problem is because what I read in the Quran and compared to how I live or was living and the community or the circles I was part of, there was a big gap. And so I was living a life that was safe, that was complacent to dunya standards. And this is very narrow-minded. And so inshallah, I encourage you, you know, alhamdulillah, I hope this, just this one verse we're going to use to go so deep in, use it to, inshallah, spark your love, right? The ultimate dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from the Quran. It is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously Ramadan was the month of the Quran, and I haven't gone into three mindsets yet. I'm just establishing that the true tranquility, right? The tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the resources, the sources that he's given us, alhamdulillah, are right there. We all have access to it, and the Quran is definitely one. So the three mindsets I'm sharing are not limited to these three, to attaining afia, tranquility. Absolutely not. These are just three that I want to highlight for our conversation right now, for the season of life that we're in right now, post Ramadan. And I hope everything that I've shared up to this point is just the primer. So in order to seek tranquility and peace, sometimes, again, we go externally. And, you know, subhanAllah, I was just with a friend this week. She's a mom of two young kids, and we were talking, and subhanAllah, she said, you know, I thought, like, she wanted to build a good habit of drinking water. And she's like, you know, I was like, I'm going to buy a fancy cup. She's like, I invested and bought this fancy cup. And then, you know, I was like, oh, I need to make sure I have two. So there's one next to my night table. And there's one in my living room. She's like, I still wasn't drinking water. And she's like, I realized, you know, like, it's just how I view my relationship with water. It's like the, you know, subhanAllah, the focus I gave in my life. And then subhanAllah, she, you know, she was sharing this journey she went on, and how she realized, like, it was more just internally, certain things she was telling herself that, like, you know, what's the point of drinking water? It's not going to do anything. So hence she wasn't actually taking action. My point again, it's so easy when we're in this pain and feeling distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we think it's like all these external things we have to fix, and we don't start with the first most important place where the seeds have been planted that take us away from Allah, that have created distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why I chose to, you know, approach this conversation with mindset. And so inshallah, you know, if you want a different type of life, which is what everyone was here sharing, right? You want a different type of life, and you want different results, we need to have a different mindset about our role and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I hope today you leave with a newer mindset. And so the first one, inshallah, here we go. So the first one for attaining tranquility And tranquility that is in the remembrance of Allah, tranquility that brings us closer to Allah, tranquility that is tied to the peace and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is submission. Submission in every moment. And to see our life as a manifestation of our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do I mean by this? Submission is not conditional. Submission is not based on our situation. It is not based on the test we're going through. It's not based on our emotions. That submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment, in every thought, in every action, is alhamdulillah where you start to taste the sweetness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I defined for you guys earlier, that you know that really beautiful footnote of what tranquility is that where every desire, every thought is directing my heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I want to share a beautiful hadith qudsi that's going to help us understand this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith qudsi is the words of Allah conveyed to Angel Jibreel, who conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah Most High says, he who is hostile to a friend of mine, I declare war against him. My slave approaches me with nothing more beloved to me than what I have made obligatory on him. So the fun. And my slave keeps drawing near to me with voluntary acts until I love him. And when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his sight with which he sees, his hand with which he seizes, and his foot with which he walks. If he asks me, I will surely give to him. And if he seeks refuge in me, I will surely protect him. This is a hadith qudsi that I would put in your toolbox because it's absolutely tied to the pursuit of anyone here who wants that tranquility in their life that is tied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the definition of tranquility, that it is to pursue Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your fard, then through the additional acts, and then, you know, and to seek closeness to him and love of him, and to the point then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes your hearing, your sight. And what that means, obviously, is that everything you're doing, you see the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and his attributions in everything that you're doing. So it's going back to that point where I said earlier, you're not necessarily increasing in things. We will absolutely have to establish our fard. You increase in sunnah and nawafid. But then when you do these regular, ordinary acts that you're doing, subhanAllah, you are feeling that closeness to Allah, because then you're like, you're looking at your sofa and you're just like, alhamdulillah, the comfort that Allah provides in just being able to sit here, and how subhanAllah his mercy, like, you know, you see his attribute of rahmah in just like the surrounding of the peace in your home. You see the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in how he just has made certain colors. I was just reflecting on this with my husband the other day. I'm like, what a blessing. Like, I was looking at the sky. We went for a walk. And I'm like, these colors of just blue and green. Like, can you imagine if the sky was like, sometimes in the sense that it is, but it was just like bright pink fuchsia all the time. Like, it would, you know, these colors are just so calming. So the point is that, alhamdulillah, as you increase in these acts, the smallest of simplest of acts are just so, alhamdulillah, joyful. It is, alhamdulillah, constantly immersing you deeper and deeper into the relationship with your Lord, right? And this is what I want you to ask right now. The formula that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just laid out for us in this hadith qudsi, the fard, the nawafin, and then, you know, he becomes your hearing, your sight. But through all of this, the theme is submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want you to ask yourself, outside of your fard acts, do you find yourself consciously submitting to Allah? Do you find yourself actually saying to yourself, I am, Ya Rab, as much as I'm tired right now, I know my kids need lunch and I'm making it because Ya Rab, I submit to your will and I submit to the responsibility that you have placed on me as a mother. Or you're taking, you know, maybe someone elderly for an appointment, someone in your family, you're helping them. And you know, maybe again, you're struggling, right? I want to be real. Like, we struggle with our, you know, physical exhaustion or mental exhaustion, but you do it because you're like, Ya Rab, I want your pleasure. I want your pleasure above all else. Or, you know, like, again, you feel tired and it's so easy to numb yourself, but you're like, Ya Rab, I need your words. And so I submit, Ya Rab, to, you know, I know the Quran is going to bring me joy. I know the Quran is going to bring me the closeness of you, right? Your remembrance. And so you go to that and then alhamdulillah, you feel that tranquility. So I want you to ask yourself, outside of your fard, do you find your mindset actually being, I need to submit. I need to submit. I need to submit. Can you? And then here's the other part that's really important. And you can kind of tie this into this first mindset of submitting in every moment. I remember sometimes early on in my kind of journey and career, when I'd be going to places, sometimes like meetings or big presentations I had, and I would feel so insecure, like in terms of like, oh my God, like, am I prepared enough? Oh my God, like, you know, how am I going to share this? Like, there's going to be so many people. What if, you know, it's not, what if it's not a good reminder? What if it's not a strong reminder? And then I had to just pause. I had this, I remember this really like, you know, moment that Allah's kind of guiding me to, where I was like, wait, why am I speaking and acting like Allah's path is against me? If I'm calling to his path, if I'm doing things for the pleasure of Allah and submitting to him, why don't I act like he is for me? Why do I not act like he's with me? And I think this first mindset in terms of submission is we sometimes are approaching submission as if like Allah's path is against us, like he doesn't want you to submit. Or we're acting like everything is just so hard and Allah's making it so hard because he doesn't want me to submit. It's completely opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a shukur. He appreciates you submitting. He loves for you to be calling upon him. And so why don't we act like Allah loves for me to submit? Allah is for me, right? He's rooting for me. He is helping me. He is guiding me to submit. And he's appreciative. He's appreciative of me submitting. Can you imagine? So anyone here who just, you know, maybe reflected and realized, yeah, outside of my prayer, I don't really think about submitting to Allah. So why not switch that, inshallah, and maybe add this to the mindset that in submitting in every moment, I want to have the mindset that every moment, you guys, I'm talking every moment, I am affirming, ashhadu la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That when I reach for my dinner plate, when I reach to answer the door when someone has come, when I'm ordering an Amazon package online, or I am placing the order for groceries, whatever it is you're doing, I'm trying to think of the most simplest mundane task, that even in that, I see this as a submission and an act of and manifestation of my faith. That this is translating to ashhadu la ilaha illallah, this is me doing. But then I'm not doing it from this place, because this is where shaitan is unleashed, right? And he comes after you where you are most weak. That he's coming at you from this place of Allah doesn't want me to submit. Allah makes it so hard for me to submit. No, no, no. It is the opposite. So now have this mindset. My Rabb helps and supports me and loves for me to submit. That he is trying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates every opportunity for me to submit. I have to show up now. Right? So inshallah, let's add that to that mindset, because because the part of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes your hearing and your sight and the eyes with what you see and what you hear, this is tranquility. This is the peace. This is the peace that all of our hearts are craving and we experience in Ramadan, right? This is what, subhanAllah, makes like the stories of the prophets that we read exceptional, because that was the standard. They were submitting in every moment. And, you know, when we think of like Prophet Ibrahim Islam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, like he was the exceptional standard, right? And obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in Prophet Ibrahim Islam's example, where we see like the most, you know, subhanAllah, intense of tests, and he feels this tranquility, right, in his submission. I think it's important to remember that sometimes, you guys, these mindsets, these hearts, these realities of the heart, like where we have these gaps, where we're like, wait, I don't even know how to submit. I don't know what that feels like. You know what? I don't know what the standard is, because we've taken like some really futile, some very disturbing figures as our standard. Nothing is neutral in this world. You scrolling online and going to like celebrity pages and, you know, maybe influencers that don't call to Allah, like that's not neutral. Those are figures, those are standards that you are taking subconsciously as like people in your life, standards to follow, like it or not, you are. And so I really think that, you know, subhanAllah, one of the blocks, one of the ways of, inshallah, again, decreasing our resistance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being more connected to, alhamdulillah, the models and standards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And so one of the bonuses, inshallah, in the retreat that we're going to do, Ustadha Samia Mubarak, she's going to do specific examples of strength from Maryam alayhis salam. Can you imagine if you like went through your life in your day right now, in your day, and you were so emotionally attached to Maryam Islam and her example of strength, her example of subhana tranquility and peace, and how she showed that in her life? Can you imagine if that was your standard? Like you actually, and they've done studies, subhanAllah, get this, you guys, they've done studies that when someone is going online, right, and they're constantly going to celebrity social media pages and profiles, they actually feel subconsciously like this is a friend of theirs. The way that I forget what the details of the study, but like they monitored someone who did this by 2, 3 weeks, and like the way the person would talk, their internal world was they feel this closeness, and hence why every other celebrity obviously has a page and this access. Like people feel like they're in your community, they feel this connection, like they're part of your life. Whereas like there's no connection, but you make this. And so imagine if, inshallah, you start to actually build close relationship with Maryam Islam. And just because we are not here with her now, or we weren't with her there, does not mean that her standard can't be a living standard that you connect to, right? Inshallah. So yeah, parasocial relationship, that's it. And so imagine, inshallah, if we start doing that with the prophets, right? The figures, where they're not these just stories that were of the past, but from the living reality standards, right? Living standards that we, inshallah, are connected to, emotionally connected to. And that's what the beauty of the Quran is. I know, and for those of you who've attended previous sessions, like Surah Yusuf is like a living companion for me. That surah, like the story of Prophet Yusuf Islam, his strength, his challenges that he went through, and obviously the Prophet sent him through the seerah, but it's like living for me. Like there's verses that I will go to, and it's like I'm having a therapy session, right? It's like I'm having a coaching session where I can just pull from it. I can connect with it. I can like cry with it. I'm like, this is right now for me. And that's inshallah, like again, that afia. So that's the mindset first one, you guys, inshallah. And there was a couple other I want to just throw in. Let me just go to again this idea of submission from Surah Ankabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is submission, right? What is submission? Like submission is to strive. Submission is to strive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in Surah Ankabut, Surah 29, verse 6 to, I'm going to quote 6, 7, and 9. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever strives in the cause of Allah does so to his own good. Surely Allah stands in no need of anyone in the whole universe. I want to remind myself of this verse and you, because when it comes to submission, again, we sometimes think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in need of our submission. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing that you are striving, you are submitting to Allah for your own success, for your own goodness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in again, ayah 7, Surah 29, so the next verse, those who believe and do good deeds, we shall cleanse them of their evil deeds and reward them according to the best of their deeds. We're talking about tranquility, you guys. Striving, submitting to Allah through like every act. And so alhamdulillah, when you're gonna start doing, this mindset of submitting to Allah, like everything I'm doing is ashhadu la ilaha illallah. Everything I'm doing is because of ashhadu la ilaha illallah. When I start doing this, alhamdulillah, the angel starts to write more and more good deeds for me throughout the day. But because of this, I start to get cleansed. My sins start to be cleansed, as Allah is saying, and Allah says, and reward them according to the best of their deeds. But here's what happens when that cleansing happens, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sorry, in a hadith, we know the Prophet said that, every bad deed you do, follow it up with the good, because it will cleanse that. What happens with cleansing? You feel lighter. What happens with cleansing? It's for our own purification. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleansing to, alhamdulillah, out of His mercy for us, you feel that closeness to Allah because those sins are not weighing you down anymore. Right? That is the process of Tawbah, subhanAllah. And then ayah 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and as for those who have believed and acted righteously, we shall certainly admit them among the righteous. Again, like this, you guys, this principle of tranquility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this afia, this peace Allah is promising, is woven throughout His promises. And this is the promise here. As for those who have believed, so you believe and then you act righteously. This is the first mindset again, submission, right? Your faith is moving from just the heart to action. We shall certainly admit them among the righteous. To be admitted among the righteous, all the things that fall under that, right? To be among the righteous is to be people of peace, to be people of sabr, to be people of, again, doesn't matter what storm you're in, you feel that tranquility. And again, subhanAllah, we see that on a global scale right now in what we're seeing, right? SubhanAllah. So ask yourself, do I see my faith and my submission as something that is constant? That's the first mindset and tool. Or is it disjointed? Meaning I pray, I'm submitting. I do, you know, I sit there with my tasbih beads, then I'm submitting. But everything in between that, I'm not. And what was Ramadan? Ramadan was that, right? Ramadan was that every waking moment, we were like calculating our sleep, we're calculating our schedule because we were in that state. And now we're not. So now, inshallah, the goal is I want to submit in every moment. Everything I'm doing, the mindset, I want to submit. I want to submit, inshallah. And here's like the final piece I'll give for this first mindset. Do you have a comfortable approach to your submission to Allah? Do you have a comfortable approach to your submission to Allah, or are you all in? Because if you're all in, it means we do it when it's uncomfortable. If you're all in, it means I prioritize that above all else, right? Or is one foot in and one foot out? And one of the things I do, and you know, the work I do sometimes with couples, reminding like you cannot throw around the D word, divorce, because the second you give your partner a message that like one foot is in, you destabilize the relationship. You destabilize the relationship. If you are one foot in with Allah and one foot out, and again, this might be even subconsciously, but that means like I'll submit to Allah, like again, just when it's convenient, I will submit to Allah and I will pray and I'll regret when I can. That's not being all in. And that can destabilize the relationship. So alhamdulillah, having this mindset of I'm going to submit to Allah in every moment actually creates that balance, that stability, which alhamdulillah is what feeds our tranquility and contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for a lot of people, you guys, obsessions and having this kind of like persistent devotion in their life. For some people, it's kids, it's career, right? It's wealth, it's investments. And it's not a bad thing, but this devotion can take us away from Allah's time, right? It can derail us. And that can be destabilized. That can be your one foot out. So it's like, okay, I submit to Allah, but you know, when it comes to my finances, when it comes to my job, like I can't play there. I'm not going to prioritize that. I can't remember Allah's had that out of it. Like whatever it is, that's having a one foot out kind of approach. All right. I am definitely going to be over. I'm going to get the second one. I'm going to try to like speed through. So forgive me, you guys, but we're probably going to finish by like in another 25 minutes. So if anyone has to go, it is recorded, but I encourage you to stick around. Make this a priority right now, inshallah. And I appreciate the participation. So can everyone just put in from the first tool, right, of this mindset, the first mindset, having submission call, can you put in one line? What are you holding on to? Put that in. It's going to help keep you engaged. And again, we want to take action. We want to be people whose hearts are moved, because that is, alhamdulillah, one of the definitions of tranquility. Tranquility is when my heart is moved by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making submission a priority, no tranquility without submission. My Rabb loves for me to submit. I love that. Submitting to Allah every second, trying to do in all circumstances, yes. Being present. So many coming in, I'm trying to read them. Allah is with me mindset, yes. Allah wants the best for me, yes. Allah wants submission for me. I want to submit to Allah, yes. Finding tranquility in that Allah is a shukuri, is appreciative of my submission. Submission to Allah, to an extent, Allah wants me to submit. Yes, submission every moment, being comfortable and submitting. Yeah. And being okay with being uncomfortable, meaning like you might have to, you know, prioritize and rearrange things, but I'm not only going to submit when it's comfortable. That's the final point I really want us to hold on to. Because like I said, many of us have a very comfortable approach. We submit when it's comfortable. Yes, I love, you see, you guys are like, alhamdulillah, helping me solidify. Submission purifies me. And when I'm purified, when I'm cleansed of that, alhamdulillah, I feel more tranquility. Yes, good. You guys are staying on. All right, second mindset, inshallah, for increasing tranquility in our life, tranquility that, inshallah, increases us in the remembrance of Allah. Be irrationally generous and protective of your relationship with Allah. What do I mean by this? Let me just give you a quick story. In the olden days, there wasn't this idea that the government took care of people. What I mean by that is, for example, if you have ever been to Turkey, you'll see like one of the oldest mosques there, you know, the Soleimania Mosque. The mosque around the surrounding courtyard actually had a hospital, it had a shelter, it had a soup kitchen, because the community was comprised of people who knew that submission in their hearts led them to be generous to the community. So they understood that being in community, coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meant that we are people of generosity, and so we take care of each other. And they understood that most importantly started with themselves. What I mean by that is sometimes we approach being generous in charity, we approach generosity in all its external parts, and then we're so cheap with ourselves and we're so cheap with the way we approach our relationship with Allah. So one of the mindsets I want you to have is to be so generous. So here's the mindset. The second mindset is be generous in with yourself or to yourself with your relationship with Allah. Be generous to yourself when it comes to your relationship with Allah. What do I mean by that? Choosing and prioritizing those things, those habits, investments when it comes to your relationship with Allah. Meaning, I allocate certain amount of time in my year that is dedicated to, you know, going and seeking knowledge, classes. I invest a lot of, alhamdulillah, my wealth, because I know that is an investment that comes back to me tenfold. I take a lot of, like, even if I have meetings and things going on, I will take out an hour in my day for my walks, because that is my time of deep dhikr. That is my time of deep closeness and reflection where I get to disconnect. I will be away from my phone, and I want to post on this for like 2 hours. When sometimes I want that undisturbed time, and I'm being generous to myself. I'm like, yep, I know there's going to be lots of messages, things I have to go through, but I'm going to be generous with myself because I need that time with Allah, and I will, whoever needs to get a hold of me can just hold on, right? So being generous with yourself when it comes to your relationship with Allah. And here's what we need to understand that is really important when it comes to this, when you're asking, like, how can I be generous with myself? Every act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, you guys, has a limit. Right? Fasting, you have to break at sunset. There's certain days that you cannot fast. When it comes to salah, there's certain periods we know that you can't pray, right? So we know, like, right after Fajr until Dhuhr, until like the sun comes up, yes, you can do Dhuha prayer, but there's certain times that you can't pray. You know, we know that there's certain other acts that have restrictions on them. The only thing in the Quran, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, increase, and, you know, be excessive. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, be so excessive in the remembrance of Allah that they think you are Majnun. Be so excessive in the dhikr of Allah. And so I would say the starting point of being generous with yourself, you guys, comes absolutely with the dhikr of Allah. But remember that dhikr of Allah, because we get so literal, it's not just astaghfirullah, 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 alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Dhikr of Allah is not just on the tongue. It starts in the heart, the mind, the thoughts. And then it starts in inshallah and transfers into action. This is the goal of tranquility, right? It's to be focused on seeking the remembrance of Allah, that nothing separates us from it. That nothing I'm doing takes me away from that. It's part of my dhikr. Everything is part of my dhikr. And so this is what's really important. Because again, I think so many of us are just like, you know, saying things. We're doing dhikr, we're saying istighfar on our tongue, but it's like so disjointed from what we're doing in our day. Right? We're saying alhamdulillah, but then like someone asks, like, oh, how's it doing? Oh my God, it's like so, you know, this is happening, and we start complaining, right? You won't believe what she said. I'm like, but how did that shukr just translate in your life? How did you say alhamdulillah transfer in your life, right? There's a disjointedness. So I really encourage you when in the second mindset of increasing, being generous with yourself when it comes to the remembrance of Allah, right? When it comes to your relationship with Allah, starts with things like this. First, be so generous with yourself when it comes to the dhikr of Allah. I am going to say so much. It's okay if I'm not talking as much. You know what? It's okay if I give up the phone call because I need this. I want to be generous here. And like I said, investing in yourself, inshallah. And, you know, we, subhanAllah, like, I think one of the realities that really helped me, alhamdulillah, strengthen my relationship with Allah is realizing that I have to protect this relationship. I have to protect this relationship. It can't be passive. You know, I can't take guidance for granted. And I really, really encourage you, inshallah, to think of it this way. This is being generous, right? With that relationship is I'm protective of this relationship. And so we tend to like approach our relationship with Allah so like black and white. Like I said, it's the fard, I do that, and then that's it, right? And subhanAllah, like in Ramadan, we really all experience that heightened awareness and that protectiveness. Like I said, we're calculating our sleep. We would, alhamdulillah, have the energy, right? Like the bursts of energy to do things that we regularly wouldn't. It was because we were so vigilant of that relationship. So inshallah, by being generous with yourself in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to increase in, alhamdulillah, that protectiveness. You're going to be so conscious, inshallah, of that. And so then you'll start to see, you know, joy, contentment, alhamdulillah, success will come to you because you're practicing the spiritual generosity. So I want you to just take a moment, ask yourself right now, how will I practice spiritual generosity with myself? How will I be spiritually generous to myself? And you know, like, again, this is, it's so vast, because now what happens is I'm giving in charity, but it's not just I'm giving in charity, I'm giving charity to be generous to myself, because Ya Rab, I'm, and remember, charity is purifying your wealth. I'm giving charity so I can be generous to myself, because Ya Rab, I am in need of the purification that comes from this, right? I'm going to help someone to be generous to myself, not that person, right? I'm not like doing it for them. No, I'm doing this to be spiritually generous to myself, because Ya Rab, I need the khair and the goodness you're going to give me, because that is your promise, because I need, that's why I'm going to help this person. And especially for those, I know we have mashallah people here from all over the world, but I do notice that in North America, we have a very troubling, very sometimes I think problematic conversations around parenting. Like, it's very negative and it's very like burdensome. And I really think like this part, like be spiritually generous to yourself as a mother and father, right? How would you practice that? And that would be like, you know, I get to be spiritually generous to myself as a mother, fill in the blank, right? What is that? Is that like, you know, I'm going to sit with my children and I'm going to have the Quran playing out loud. One of the moms, I remember she shared with me, you know, subhanAllah, we had had a session, and then she shared how the next day she's like, I was spiritually generous with myself by, she's like, I put the Bluetooth speaker on and I had the morning adhkar playing. And I was like, it's okay if the kids, you know, wake up a little bit, or they're playing and they hear it. And they, you know, they find it maybe a little disruptive. She's like, I don't care. My heart needs it. And it felt so good having the house just echo the adhkar of Allah through this Bluetooth speaker. And she's like, and subhanAllah, actually changed, because the kids loved it. The kids loved like having it, and they were just playing. And she's like, my heart needed it. And she's like, I let myself do that. And that was being spiritually generous with herself. So this is a very personal response that you can give. But ultimately, what you're doing is, instead of being generous with everyone from a worldly lens, you are starting, inshallah, with yourself. And this will actually make you more generous with the people, right? SubhanAllah. So the second mindset is to be, alhamdulillah, irrationally generous and protective of your relationship with Allah. And like I said, this is like, there's so many examples, and I hope you guys put some in the chat. Inshallah, is it possible that 1 minute you spiritually strong, the next shaitan messes with your thoughts? So you know what, Anika, and I'm really glad you're asking. I'll quickly take a moment to answer this question before I go to the third one, you guys. If you have dips like this, right, where they're so high and they're so low, this is a sign of destabilization. This is because shaitan will always have waswas. That's the reality. Shaitan will always have waswas. But when you practice regular remembrance of Allah, that is not just here, right? We said heart, inshallah, our thoughts, our actions, that waswas will not throw you off. It won't be so high and low anymore. It will actually just be little dips, little fluctuations. Yes, right? And that's the goal. We don't want to completely destabilize. And so alhamdulillah, increasing in this tranquility, that's what afia is, right? This afia and wellness, alhamdulillah, will allow you to start being more consistent and stable. And this is what I'd like everyone to connect with for a moment right now. Everything I'm talking about today, these mindsets, it's making Allah subhanahu the center of your life. And when you make Allah kind of the center of your life, you won't feel so destable anymore. Yeah, you might not be at the level you are in Ramadan, but alhamdulillah, you're going to be much more stable. And here's a part that I share in a lot of my spiritual coaching programs. We constantly want Allah's path to be stable, but He calls on us to be stable. Allah is always stable. He's always present, right? His remembrance, alhamdulillah, His closeness, as Allah kind of says, when my servant asks Him about me, indeed I am near. He is always there. It is us who are unstable. So you become stable in your relationship with Allah. And what I'm sharing with you today, these are the most smallest of micro moments. You guys, these are the roots and the foundation that constantly submitting and saying La ilaha illallah, being consistently generous and increasing in your remembrance of Allah, this is what's going to allow you to be stable. This is what's going to allow you to be stable, inshallah. And if you can't do this, then don't ask, you know, why am I constantly thrown off? Why am I in this state of constantly like falling apart? Well, because the stability has never been set. Just like, you know, when you use these examples of pillars and foundations, that's what allows you to keep steady. So I want to share with you guys, inshallah, and I'm going to go to the third one, inshallah, the final mindset. Before I do that, so I'm going to just share with you, obviously, I've been talking about this whole webinar is obviously to ground us on why this work is so important, right? When we come back to that verse of Surah Al-Kahf, you know, that reminder of, yes, external realities, right? Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, pursue, be with those people who are constantly in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increasing in that closeness of Allah. Immerse yourself, you guys, in a spiritual environment. We're talking about stability. Immerse yourself in a spiritual environment, even if it's online. Alhamdulillah, we're here and we're benefiting from this energy from one another, right? The influence helps us to remove distractions from the obedience of Allah. Being, inshallah, in this gathering and alhamdulillah, you know, accessing this kind of knowledge allows us to increase our remembrance of Allah. So I'm just sharing with you, inshallah, the retreat. For those who want to, alhamdulillah, get stable, for those who want to take their life and their success in this dunya and akhirah to that next level. So season of tranquility, how to realign for success by centering Allah. Alhamdulillah, this is a retreat we're going to have online, inshallah, May 4th. And, you know, this is like the kind of inspiration for it, right? When Allah is central in your life and you live from a place of faith, the dunya will fall at your feet, you guys. And this is inspired from, you know, the hadith where the Prophet conveys to us that the one who wakes up and the dunya is your only worry, you will be in a state of confusion, loss, distress. Basically, you know, that verse we're talking about it as well. It's that same principle. Whereas the Prophet conveys, the one who wakes up and Allah and the hereafter are their sole focus, the dunya will, you know, Allah will just drop the dunya at their feet. Like everything will just be there because you're so indifferent. Inshallah, we'll talk a little bit more about that. So this is online. It's going to be May 4th, 11 a.m. Eastern. Myself and Dr. Rania Awad are going to be, inshallah, hosting this retreat. Like I said, you've got two bonuses with Ustada Sara Sultan and Samia Mubarak. Julie's just putting in to the chat, inshallah. You can go read all of this, but this is for people who want to move forward with tranquility. These are people who want to not have doubts in their ability and feel like they can't overcome the challenges that life's posing at them. These are for people who want to achieve higher levels of success in their life. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is constantly answering us, right? And He's giving us the answers. And it doesn't matter if you're a mother, a working woman, a believer, you're single, you're struggling with things in your life. Feeling complete and whole starts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But most importantly, if you're tired of being rejected, you're tired of feeling isolated, you're tired of breaking down or falling short or not being enough or not achieving some crazy level of success that you think is only attainable for certain people, this is for you, right? Because success for the believer is completely different. It's completely different. And we want to define success by the exact roadmap that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And so the reason, you know, we've arranged this retreat is that we want you to keep moving forward on the path of success. As women, alhamdulillah, you guys, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many incredible blessings and messages that are like, you know, just alhamdulillah, we can find so much strength and peace in. And I'm just placing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the center, right? That our value and worth is not in anything else and will never satisfy us but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you get four powerful sessions. The session I'm doing on the retreat is Victorious in Deen and Dunya, Winning Against the Nafs. What does it mean to be spiritually awake? What does it mean to actually realign your focus and fast track your personal growth? I know in the work I've done, alhamdulillah, over the past decade, people always asking, right? Like, how do I achieve, you know, this level in my prayer? How do I do X, Y, Z, you know, when it comes to certain goals and dreams that they have? And so many times we are the ones in our own way, the self-sabotage, right? The things and stories we tell ourselves. So inshallah, how to rip off labels that Allah did not give you and you're probably operating from, right? How do you move past that, inshallah? And how do you show up from a place, alhamdulillah, of deep shukr, sabr, yakin, so that nothing can shake you? And I've shared this before, it does not come from a place of arrogance, but I'm telling you, when you safeguard your relationship with Allah, no worldly being is going to be able to tear you down, right? No situation or room I step in, am I so insecure that I'm worried about these people around me? Like, my relationship with is Allah, right? My focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do you, inshallah, get to that? And then Dr. Rania's session is going to be embracing womanhood as a doorway to success. We know that there are so many unhealthy stories and labels that is circling around the conversation of what it means to be a woman that's not rooted in the deen. When you come back to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about womanhood, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about success for the woman, Subhanallah, it is truly, subhanallah, liberating, holistic, and you're going to feel so connected on setting a new standard for yourself. And mashallah, feeling close to it, you're going to have healthy boundaries. You know, you're going to stop sabotaging so many things in your life that you're probably doing, that secular feminism, you know, subhanallah, set us up to do. And then the two bonus sessions you get, inshallah, is embracing limitations to become unbreakable. So Sister Sara Sultan, she's a therapist, mashallah. She's, you know, well-versed in the deen. So this is going to be a really powerful session to go through. Alhamdulillah, we all make mistakes, but, you know, we're wired to trip up and obligated to seek Allah's help. How do you do that in those moments where you feel like you're failing? How do you do that in the moments that you're really feeling like you're being tested? And we all are on some level, right? So that's going to be powerful. And then Ustada Samia Mubarak, inshallah, lessons of resilience and faith from Surah Maryam. Like I said, imagine if you lived your life like Maryam Islam was your best friend, where her example, her story are living and real for you. I'm telling you, it's going to be a really powerful bonus, inshallah, and set a new standard and companion in your life. So this takes place. If you can't join live, you will have lifetime access. And mashallah, this is like over, it's over 5 hours of alhamdulillah content, alhamdulillah, of this incredible value that you're going to have. And I love doing retreats because you know what? Our tradition has such a practice, you guys, of like physically removing yourself, right? Be it, you know, in an online space or a physical space, but just for a moment being transformed and with other people in that immersive space of knowledge. But more so, we've come at it from like this place of growth and coaching. Discover You is not about just giving knowledge, but about moving people along. So you're on this path of growth. And so alhamdulillah, you're going to experience that through this one day retreat. We're going to spend, inshallah, those 4 hours together. And I know there's people online that charge mashallah thousands for things like that. Alhamdulillah, the retreat is $147. There is a payment plan. Our team is there to help you up. And inshallah, you know, it's going to be really exciting. Alhamdulillah. So I'm so excited for the topic because, like I said, the goal is, as women, alhamdulillah, we want to achieve success, but we don't want it to be void of Allah. We don't want success just in this dunya. And when we experience that deep, alhamdulillah, success, that tranquility that we've been talking about is what we want to get to. So let's go into, inshallah, the final point. Oh, and I forgot, when you sign up, inshallah, next 24 hours, you are going to get a special bonus from Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, rahimahullah, on how to master your emotions toolkit. I know emotions is a big thing. I had a separate retreat on it. This is a really powerful, alhamdulillah, mini toolkit that Sheikh Muhammad did. And that is worth like $400 alone. We've sold it before people have taken part in that program. And we're going to be giving it to you for free when you join the next 24 hours. So it's the Master Your Emotions toolkit, which is absolutely essential for success. So that's a really powerful bonus that you're getting when you sign up, inshallah. So take advantage, be the people of action. And again, be generous with yourself, right? This is an investment you're making in yourself. And alhamdulillah, thousands of people who have gone through our programs, their relationship with Allah changes, hence their life changes. And so you are absolutely going to feel the transformation of that. Alhamdulillah. And yes, you will have lifetime access to the recordings for the retreat. So if you, you know, can't attend live, you miss a little bit, you can inshallah go and watch it as well. All right, let's go into the final one. So the third mindset to alhamdulillah, increase in tranquility that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that allows us to experience joy in every part of our life because our hearts are directed to Allah, is keeping the real perspective in mind, which is the akhirah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, remember death often. Those are successful who remember death often. And in some narrations, the Prophet said, remembering death 20 times a day. We're not even awake for 20 hours of the day, guys. So imagine how often you are to remember it. I see in the chat someone put, you know, I like in-person retreats. You know, I love in-person retreats too, but I will be honest with you, also online, alhamdulillah, it's a different experience because we get to spend a bit more time and I actually get more time to do things and the breakout rooms. So I've had people who have attended the online, alhamdulillah, and enjoyed it more and also have felt that there's no difference. There's no, the transformation they were seeking, they still experienced it. So don't let that be a block to hold you back. If it's between not having any program and, you know, transformation occur, don't hold yourself back. I know a lot of people, especially women, are saying like in their communities, there's lectures, but there's not actually a course, something that's moving you forward. Please don't let that be the reason you hold back. Like, oh, it's online, I don't want to do it. But then you have nothing you're attending. There's no spiritual experience that you're part of or immersing yourself in. please prioritize it. And I promise you that you will experience mashallah a shift. So let that not be the reason you hold back. All right, so third mindset, like we said, remembering death often. The reality for many of us and what creates a hard heart, you guys, is the absence of death, the lack of remembrance and absence of death in our life. And the life of this dunya can bedazzle us, right? It can, and subhan, that's what the ayah in Surah Al-Kahf, right? So let's come back to that verse because everything is tied around that. So Allah subhanahu says in that final part, do not let your eyes look beyond them. So meaning, you know, those people that are seeking the remembrance of Allah day and night, right? Constantly, remember, submitting to Allah constantly. Allah says, do not let your eyes look beyond them, desiring the luxuries of this worldly life. Allah is warning you against that because what's the result of it? And do not obey those whose hearts we have made heedless of our remembrance. So it's all tied together. When you lose the perspective of the akhirah, when you lose perspective that this dunya is not it, when you lose perspective that we are all, 100% of the people on this earth are going to die, when you lose that perspective, right, then subhanAllah, your heart starts to become in a state of ghafla. You will lose the remembrance of Allah. And then Allah subhanAllah says, and who follow only their desires, they will be in a state of loss. Because then you start to fall into the state of subhanAllah, following your desires. So when you, the absence of remembering death, being entrenched in this dunya, right? Falling into the trap of dunya, you start to decrease the remembrance of Allah. You start to increase following your desires. And then it leads to that self-destructive path. Subhanallah, this is the formula. This is all in that verse. This is literally in that verse, you guys. You just have to slow down. And, you know, again, this is why having a relationship with the Quran, that remembrance is so important. So those that realize how temporary this world is and it's a mirage, they seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala patiently. This is really important, right? Being patient in this relationship. So this last mindset is that we are constantly remembering death, that we constantly have perspective in everything we're doing because we know this world isn't it. And so I'm going to share a very clear example for you of how, inshallah, you can do this in your life daily. Fasting Mondays and Thursdays, right? You're like, man, when I'm fasting, my energy's not the same. Subhanallah, like, you know, I'm hungry, like my energy dips. Then let's say you, alhamdulillah, decide to fast. You go to work, and then within a few hours, it's dhuhr. Now you gotta go pray. So you're like, oh, like it's prime time when I'm supposed to be working, and I can probably get a lot done. And then subhanAllah, Allah says, you know, like there's so much benefit and extra blessing in praying tahajjud. And so you're like, oh, in the middle of the night, just when you get to your deep sleep and you got to get up for tahajjud. If I look at all of these things only from a worldly lens, let's be real. It feels like Allah is making it hard or that, you know, Allah doesn't want us to succeed from a worldly lens. But that's not what the believer looks at things through. We look at it through the divine lens. We look at it through the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when things make sense. When we look at things knowing that there is an akhirah, there's a greater success that we are all seeking, that is what increases us. That is what allows you to keep perspective. And then here's the big thing. Relationships, you guys. How many people, subhanAllah, are struggling in relationships with parents, with siblings, with friends, with their spouse? Because they lost sight of the akhirah, we cut off ties, we say things that are not pleasing to Allah. Whereas when the reality of the hereafter is present, you realize how trivial this is. Someone has said something to hurt you, okay, give them benefit of the doubt. Maybe they had a rough day. I know I'll talk to them about it after. I don't cut them off. This dunya is not it, right? My death is the reality. I will lie in my grave. That is the reality. And so, you know, subhanAllah, when you constantly are living with the state. And you know, Ali Radhanhu, he said that truly the majority of mankind are asleep. And so then the companions asked him, you know, Ali, they asked Ali, so who, like, when do they wake up if they're all asleep? And he said, they wake up when they die. Because when we die, the physical body dies, but our soul is still alive, right? Allah subhanahu takes our soul. And so our soul is still alive. And so the believer wants to be those people who wake up right now. And we wake up When we know that the reality of death is constantly there, it's constantly present. And the Quran is the greatest blessing for us, alhamdulillah. And Allah says in the Quran, there shall come to you guidance from me, and whosoever follows my guidance, no fear shall be on them, neither shall they sorrow. Death is not something to be sad about, right? Death is something that, alhamdulillah, is actually like, you know, having the news of the hereafter was one of the greatest news that the Prophet ﷺ ever got. You know why, you guys, right? The greatest news that the Prophet ﷺ got was of the hereafter. Because imagine if this world was just it. Imagine if this was it. Alhamdulillah, the believer, why do we have so much hope? Why is it that when we see what's happening in Sudan and in Palestine, right? Why do we still have so much hope? How are we still able to hold on? Because we know this world isn't it. We know this world isn't it. We know that alhamdulillah, true justice will prevail. Allah subhanahu will give that on the day of judgment, right? We know that alhamdulillah, they have not, you know, that beautiful narration of the seerah at Uhud, where you know, the Quraysh are trying to taunt the Prophet ﷺ and saying, like, you know, we are victorious. And Umar radhiyallahu anhu, the Prophet tells him to respond. And you know, Umar radhiyallahu anhu says that our dead are not like your dead. Our dead are, you know, martyrs and shaheed. They are with Allah subhanahu. Your dead will be like the depths of hell. Right? SubhanAllah. And so, like, how, like, what good news that we get. What good news, alhamdulillah, that we get. And we hold on to. And this is what allows, when you have the perspective, the mindset, you guys, constantly at the hereafter, it is motivating. It gives you hope. It pushes you further to, alhamdulillah, you know, hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything that you do. So these are the three mindsets that I want you to hold on to. And I pray that, you know, inshallah, you continue this path of transformation, that tranquility that you're seeking, because you want that closeness to Allah. That's what we're seeking here. It is absolutely, alhamdulillah, attainable. It is not going to be hard for you, but take that rope and take the opportunities and immerse yourself, inshallah, in gatherings of knowledge, because you're not meant to walk this path alone. You're not meant to just go seek knowledge by yourself. Be, inshallah, in these environments. And so we put together this retreat for you. I wanted to share some closing words. Submitting to Allah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing good deeds, being in His remembrance, seeking closeness to Him, you guys, is not a matter of having time. It is not a matter of having time. It's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of what's important to you. Everyone here, I'm sure, who woke up today, you ate something, unless you're fasting, right? I'm sure you ate something. Why? Because it was a priority. You knew your body needed it. If you know that your heart to feel joy and peace needs the remembrance of Allah, you will prioritize it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, most of the pain of the people of hell will be because of procrastination. Right? What is procrastination? It is that neglect. It is that constantly saying, tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow, you know, I'll prioritize it. So it's an unacceptable quality. So I encourage you, inshallah, don't procrastinate on taking advantage of opportunities in your life to come closer to Allah, to take the tools, the programs, inshallah, and do it in a, you know, this is really important. I'm not just saying this because I'm here at Discover You. Even if I was not here, this is how I've approached my life before Discover You. Your path to Allah can't be random lectures. Your path to Allah can't just be, you know, when I feel like it, I turn on the YouTube. When I turn, you know, when I feel like it, maybe I'll go to a lecture at the mosque. It actually has to be structured. No one goes to university, you guys, and takes random electives, and that's your degree. You have a structured approach. And so in the retreat, we're having a structured approach, and these are specific foundational topics that we're building. And alhamdulillah, at Discover You, that's why we have programs and not just random lectures. We want you to grow. When Sheikh Mohammed founded Discover You, it was, we want people to go from point A to point B. There's a place for electives. There's a place for, yes, go watch, inshallah, random lectures. There's a place for that. But don't let that only be it. That can't be the only path to Allah, that it's random. And the one who has a focused approach to life, you're the one who's awake. When you take this structured approach, alhamdulillah, you're realizing that I constantly need to wake my heart up. And I do that with knowledge that I put into action. Knowledge that helps me, alhamdulillah, go beyond the superficial, right? And that was what we started off with. We don't want a superficial relationship with Allah anymore. I don't want to have extreme highs and lows. And the transformation process of becoming a creation, right? A creation of Allah that's achieved a state of taqwa. So let's end off where Ramadan begins, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the goal of Ramadan And so you increase in taqwa and conscious of Allah. Now, conscious of Allah is what leads to the tranquility with Allah, right? Taqwa, this involves changing our desires, our focus, our ambitions, and aligning more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. And that transformation is key to achieving our spiritual contentment. And in this life, all we are seeking is that contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's why, inshallah, we're having this retreat on May 4th, because it is about achieving contentment with success. And that success has to be within, alhamdulillah, the story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us to be part of. So I invite you, inshallah, join us. You get that special bonus. Alhamdulillah, in the next 24 hours when you join, it is a free bonus you're getting. I pray that this is beneficial. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows these this knowledge that we have learned to for us to implement and come closer to Him. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik ashhadu la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I do want to open the floor, inshallah. Please put in the chat, share some reflections. If you have any questions, I will take two. I know I'm way over, I apologize, but I'm sorry, but not sorry, because I'm so alhamdulillah excited to have this after Ramadan, these kind of opportunities. You obviously take the time out to be here. I want to show up and give you everything that I can. And I hope, inshallah, that, you know, I hope this has sparked and gave you so much awakening. So go ahead, put some reflections in the chat. What are you taking away? What are you holding on to? And yeah, I want to, inshallah, share that. And then there is a Q&A box. So let's take a couple questions from there as well. Alhamdulillah. And so the three mindsets, you guys, number one, let's put that into the chat, was submitting in every moment, right? Submitting in every moment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the second one? Yes, absolutely, bounce. Let's put in, I want to make sure you guys are holding on to it. What was the second point? Being spiritually generous with ourselves, right? Being spiritually generous with ourselves when it comes to our relationship with Allah. And the third one was keeping the real perspective, keeping the perspective of the akhirah at the forefront in everything that we're doing. And watch just how these three things, inshallah. And like I said, there's so many more I could have given you. I'm highlighting these three because they're so easy. They're so easy, but they are so heavy. And they're so heavy, inshallah. And watch how you start to increase and feel that contentment with Allah. Balance between them. Yeah. It's all, it, you know, somehow we talk about that balance for sure. But I feel like sometimes we use that in the context of like taking it easy. And I'm not saying that's what the person in the chat is saying, but I feel like sometimes we're like, oh, I got to balance deen and dunya. There is no difference. There's no difference between dunya and dunya. My dunya is my deen, meaning everything I do is submission. So sometimes I find we're living this like spiritual dual life where it's like, this is my deen and then like this is dunya. No, my dunya is part of my deen. And that's really important, you guys. It's really, really important, inshallah, to hold on to. And that's what, like, all these mindsets were about. That you're not feeling tranquil because you've probably created the separation somewhere. And so submitting in every moment is going to allow you to bring your dunya into your deen, meaning everything is going to now be under and part of that. Alhamdulillah. One of the main takeaways I took is making my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a priority at all times, comfortable and uncomfortable. Yes, alhamdulillah. Do dhikr not only the tongue, but the heart, always a way to move forward if the intention is set. Yes, alhamdulillah. If I'm not able to do all the good deeds in Ramadan, does that mean that my Ramadan is not accepted? If I'm not able to do doing all the good deeds in Ramadan, I think your question, Arafat, you meant is, if I'm not doing all the deeds I did in Ramadan after Ramadan, does that mean my Ramadan is not accepted? No, that is not necessarily a sign that it's not accepted. If you're still continuing, but like, you know, you obviously it's not at the level you were at, right? So, but subhanAllah, you guys, really important. You being here right now today and making this a priority because you wanted to see closeness to Allah, you're trying to spark that, take that as a sign. Take that as a good sign, you guys. A sign that, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to be part of a gathering of knowledge because you had the intention of wanting to come closer to Him. Sometimes we overlook these things, right? We overlook some certain acts we're doing for seeking Allah. And then we're like, oh, I'm not doing anything. And I think Allah doesn't love me. Remember, come back to that mindset. Submitting to Allah. Allah wants me to submit, right? Not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has any wants, but like He, alhamdulillah, makes it easy for me to submit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates me submitting. So remember, Allah is for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rooting for you. He's not against you. Alhamdulillah. All right, you guys. I think, inshallah, I don't see any questions, or I actually I do. Let me pick out. I see a few. I can give you an example of a way to remember death each day in a healthy way. Okay, so someone says, an example of remembering death in a healthy way. I think this, so the framing of the question shows like how, subhanAllah, we've been affected by like a secular society. Remembering death is always healthy. Like there's nothing unhealthy about remembering death, right? Obviously, if you're remembering death, here's what I'll say. The unhealthy way of remembering death, if you only think of a less punishment, that's an unhealthy way of remembering death. Okay. The healthy way of remembering death is constantly in the balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with his mercy, with his, with his mercy, with his reward, and yes, punishment. All of that has to be part of it, right? So that love, hope, fear, mercy, that is all encompassed when I think of death. That is the healthy way of remembering death. And then daily, practically, how do you remember death? So I was giving examples like in a relationship, right? And I shared this like simple quote yesterday, but it was kind of hitting at this point. If it won't matter in 5 years, it's not worth 5 minutes of my time right now. And what it means by that, and how I'll transfer this here, is if it won't matter on the day of judgment, and it could be if something weighed against me, it doesn't matter right now. Meaning, if I'm going to respond to this person in a way that's not pleasing to Allah, and I would be afraid to be held accountable for that on the day of judgment, I don't want that. Right? If I'm going to buy something right now with like haram means, or in a way that could take away the barakah, the blessing in my life, and will affect my hereafter, I don't want that. So this is how you remember death often, is in these small practical ways. And again, subhanAllah, the more you start practicing this muscle, it becomes easier and it keeps you so disciplined. It keeps you so disciplined, subhanAllah. And I think most importantly, honestly, I encourage you, start with your relationships. If we can learn to remember death in our relationships, it's really going to change other parts of your life. Because I think so many of us forget death, forget the akhirah, forget the accountability, because that's what the akhirah is part of when it comes to our spouses and our family members. We somehow think because of the hurt that's, sometimes caused to us, that we can get away with certain things, right? So if you can soften your heart by remembering death when it comes to family relationships, watch, it's actually gonna be easier to do it on the parts. And this is also for how you speak to your children, right? Things in those small micro moments, inshallah. And so here's the real talk. If you get mad at your child today, and you're allowed to get mad, but you get mad and yell at them in a way that you know is not befitting of a believer, like where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be pleased with you the way that you like just reprimanded your child. Remember that that anger and sadness is probably not because of the child. That sadness and anger is probably coming because you feel disconnected from Allah, because of that lack of tranquility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so by practicing just this akhira mindset, inshallah, knowing that closeness to Allah you're seeking, watch how you're going to speak differently to your child. This is how it shows up on those practical micro levels, you guys. All right, let me take one more question. I'm struggling with submission simply because of a specific dua I am praying. Okay, so here's a really good question. Someone says, I'm struggling with submission to Allah and stability because of one specific dua I am praying for and waiting on. How do I keep the sabr and remain hopeful? Are you worshiping Allah or are you worshiping your dua? And I shared a post on this yesterday. I shared a question. If I find it burdensome to be waiting for my dua to be answered, am I waiting on Allah or something else? So that's how I would answer your question with this question, right? Am I worshiping Allah or that dua? Because the dua is not meant to, if you're what you're waiting on, if that is deterring you from being stable and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and holding on to hope in him, then I'm worshiping what I'm asking for. And that's really scary. May Allah protect our hearts from that. And I'm very you guys, I love like doing these retreats too, because it gives us an opportunity to be personal and really connect with one another. So I have shared like, I don't have children, and this is a dua I've been making, but that this dua, this incredible subhanAllah test that Allah has given me, has like changed my relationship with Allah. And it took a lot of inner work, right? I don't share it to be like, oh, like it's so easy. No, like I had my moments of grief. I had my moments of, I had to do the work. I had to do the work. And I continue to. But the big transformation was realizing, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah answers all du'as. We know that, right? So even if Allah gave me the kids, it should never change my opinion of him. And if I don't have those children, it should not change my opinion of him. Right. So again, this has been transformational in my life. Is am I worshiping what I'm asking for? Or am I worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if I'm worshiping Allah, then it doesn't matter when Allah answers, he'll answer. And that's what we hold on to. So I hope you guys will join us, inshallah, May 4th. I'm so excited. What you got today was a taste of it. And we're going to have so much more, inshallah, together. We're also going to have a Telegram group where we'll get to connect with each other. Dr. Rania Awad, I'm sure you guys are familiar with. She's a powerhouse on her own. She brings so much, inshallah, richness, perspective. And, we have an all-star of women, alhamdulillah. And that's what we do at Discover You guys. I'm really, it's really exhausting to see a lot of conferences and places where you just have like the one token woman, when vast majority of the people who attend these programs, alhamdulillah, are women. And we need to, inshallah, speak to that reality. And we need to speak to that female perspective and feminine perspective that so many women are seeking. So this is something specifically designed in serving, mashallah, the women who are here and the women that continue to show up. So I can't wait to see you. If you have any questions, please email our team, support@discoverylife.com, or respond back to any of the emails that you got for this webinar. And you know what? Be generous in sharing the good. So if you benefited today, please go and invite others. Invite your family, your friends, other women in your life to attend the retreat with you. Do it together. And I know, mashallah, a lot of our students who join, something powerful. Imagine if you get your daughters, your nieces. I have nieces and they attend my programs and they're like in high school and so beautiful. And we get together, right? Like they will come together, make it a like something that deeply connects you. So sign up for the retreat, inshallah, get them to sign up and then get together at someone's house and like make an event out of it and watch it together, right? So just go and share the goodness, go and share and be the light for other people. Watch how you increase in tranquility and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you're sharing that goodness with others. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair, you guys. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your families. I can't wait to see you. And if I don't see you on the retreat, inshallah, there's gonna be so many other opportunities, I hope, for us to connect. So yeah, I'm so excited. Follow us on Instagram as well. We have our Discover You page. We have Sheikh Muhammad's Nation Builder, and you can connect with me on Instagram as well, razia.hamidi.coach. And inshallah, we will see you guys soon. Assalamu alaikum.